I will now call the General Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the council chambers. Sounds really loud.
Sounds like it's out there.
Sorry.
Oh, you're the broadcaster across the whole corporation.
Hello? Try again? Nope.
Let me see if it's mine.
It's tonight.
But that's tonight.
Test 1, 2, 3.
Is that better? Yes. Thank you. I'll now call the general meeting committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for uses in the council chambers are available upon request from staff in the clerk's office. Please ensure all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. Are there any members of council who have to disclose a pecuniary interest? Seeing none, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of General Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be given the opportunity to speak first to the item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion of the item will take place at the meeting. The recommendation will go forward to Council for consideration at the next meeting. Staff Report 2019-0118, Noise Bylaw Exemption Request, Caledony Sewage Pumping Station Upgrades. Approved upon consent. 3.2, Staff Report 2019-0117, Noise Bylaw Exemption Request, Mayfield Road at Centerville Creek Road, Water Main Construction, Ward 4. Approved upon consent. 3.3, Staff Report 2019-0140, for the 2020 Council Meeting Schedule, held by Mayor Thompson. 3.4, Staff Report 2019-0122, Pregnancy and Parental Leave for Members of Council Policy. Approved upon consent. 3.5, Staff Report 2019-0120, Appointment to the Board of Management of the Bolton Business Improvement Area. Held by Councillor Rosa. 3.6, Confidential Staff Report 2019-0147, Personal Matters but Identifiable Individual, Fill a Vacancy on the Climate Change Action Planning Task Force. Approved upon consent. 5.1, Staff Report 2019-0121, for the 2019 Capital Status Update Report. Approved on consent. 5.2, Staff Report 2019-0127, Community Transportation Grant Program, held by Mayor Thompson. 5.3, Staff Report 2019-0132, Automated Speed Enforcement Status Update, held by Mayor Thompson. 5.4, Staff Report 2019-0152, McLaren Wayside Pit Update, held by Mayor Thompson. 6.1, Accessibility Advisory Committee Report, approved on consent. 7.1, Notice of Motion Regarding Proposed Rotary Place Expansion. No one's holding that. Can I hold it as chair? I have a question. Thank you. 7.2, Notice of Motion Regarding Investigating Process to Stop Train Whistling at Duffy's Lane, held by Mayor Thompson. 7.3, Notice of Motion Regarding Proposed 2020 Budget Request for Windrow Clearing Machines, held by Councillor Rosa. 9.1, Confidential Staff Report 2019-0162, Proposed or Pending Acquisition of Land by the Municipality, Alton Cemetery Update, held by Mayor Thompson. 9.2, confidential staff report 2019-0163, technical, commercial, or financial information supplied in confidence to the municipality. Update on broadband request for proposal. Do you want to hold it? Yeah. Held by Mayor Thompson. So we'll now move to 3.3, staff report 2019-0140, 2020 council meeting schedule. That the 2020 council meeting schedule attached as scheduled A to staff report 2019-2020. I don't know why that's in there. Be approved, and that the 2020 council meeting schedule will be provided to the Region Appeal for information process. I need a mover and a seconder before we can discuss. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Rosa. And this item was held by Mayor Thompson.
Thank you. What I'm wanting to know is, I'd like to hear from council, is I know some of our meetings are getting a little tight starting at 2:30, and I do respect Councillor Rosa's time with his full-time job, but I was wondering if we could there might be some meetings that we may have to move the clock, you know, time earlier, but I would ask if that's the case, that anything that concerns especially Councillor Rose's ward or issues, that they be at the back of the agenda. I know it means readjusting the agenda a little bit, the way we have our procedural bylaw. I guess I'm asking the clerk or acting CEO, is this an issue that we can consider, especially with what we're coming into budget?
Ms. Fusco.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Innes, to Mayor Thompson. So the procedural bylaw was changed earlier this year to reflect a 2:30 p.m. start time. So if you would like to shift that time back to the 1 p.m., that would require a procedural bylaw amendment.
Okay. I'm just saying that maybe there might be the odd meeting that we may have to, just for the content of stuff we're coming through. We don't always have to have it that way. So can we do these one-offs site-specific, or we have to stick to the 2:30?
So through Chair Innes to Mayor Thompson, so there is provision in the bylaw to allow for some flexibility with the start time. At the call of the mayor, there is a provision in the bylaw that could be used if we wanted to move the start time to a 1 p.m. outside of the 2:30 time frame.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
I would question, and I wonder about whether we could really accomplish what the mayor is actually talking about, because to move issues from that ward farther into the agenda, it would have to be held. And if he's not here to hold it, to have interest to it, then it would be fairly difficult to kind of cope to make that happen that way.
Councillor Rosa.
I would just simply request that it remains at 2:30. It has proven to be successful over the past year. I haven't had any complaints from anyone, and we seem to have been able to get through the agenda, so I respectfully ask for it to remain at 2:30. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Okay. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Rosa. Oh, sorry, before I do, the only thing that I would add, it says to, you know, provide our schedule to the Region Appeal for information purpose, just in conversation about making sure that we're coordinating with them. Because I know as a regional councillor, it's helpful when our council meetings are on the same week as the regional council meetings. It helps with our business and flowing things through here and there as well. So if you could just keep that in mind when we're creating the calendar. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Rosa. All those in favor? Carried. The next item on the agenda is 3.5, staff report 2019-0120, appointment to the Board of Management of the Bolton Business Improvement Area, that the bylaw attached to Schedule A to staff report 2019-0120, being a bylaw to establish a Board of Management to provide for the improvement, beautification, and maintenance of municipally owned lands, buildings, and structures in the Bolton Business Improvement Area be enacted. Mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Rosa, seconded by Mayor Thompson. And this item was held by Councillor Rosa.
Yes, I just have a an amendment, I guess, that we're moving, that the staff be directed to review the BIA's request dated on May 22nd, 2019, in consultation with the members of the BIA, and report back to council as part of the 2020 budget deliberations. Some of those requests, I think we do need to have some time to deliberate and look at, and more importantly, the priorities on that list, which ones are...
Councillor Rosa, can you bring that up during the correspondence section? Because I think it's actually different than from this.
Okay.
This is the appointment one.
Right.
When that section comes up in the correspondence.
Okay. Gotcha.
Let's do that at the correspondence time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments, or concerns? Moved by Councillor Rosa, seconded by Mayor Thompson. All those in favor? Carried. The next item is 5.2, staff report 2019-0127, Community Transportation Grant Program, that the Town of Callan supports a local community transportation project and is committed to implementing the service to begin on October the 1st, 2019. That the Town of Caledon agrees to receive and be responsible for the community transportation grant funds from the Province of Ontario, and that the proposed bylaw attached to Schedule A to staff report 2019-0127 be enacted. I need a mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Early, seconded by Councillor DeBoer, and this item was held by Mayor Thompson.
Thank you, and I'm glad we finally got there. It's been long overdue with all the new elections to government, and something that was already approved is finally here. One thing that was added to the report was funding to support CCS, and I understand this is a regional issue as well, but I do know that there's a shortfall in the transit system. But I think we have to be careful on how we fund the transit system, because at this point, the challenge we have is it's not sustainable the way it's structured. But I have an amendment that I would like to add to help CCS to go forward, and if I could have that put forward, please. Basically, what we're asking is a one-time only to give them to help them over the hump. And this funding has been sitting there for so long to get to. This is a lot of it's for the busing to connect seniors in the rural parts of Caledon. And to me, is that we'll give them a shot in the arm, but they have to come up with a better sustainable plan going forward before we can put taxpayers' money into something like this. But they do provide a good service, and we just got to work with them to find a better solution, and I know our town staff will work with that. But that's why we're asking a one-time only, similar to what sometimes you get is this is just a one-off. This is not guaranteed funding every year.
I need a mover and a seconder.
Sorry. Go ahead and move.
Moved by Councillor Early. Seconded by Mayor Thompson.
It's your show now. You talk about it.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I think the initiative is okay, but what you begin to wonder is that we've got a lot of groups, similar, maybe not quite the same, but providing services to groups that at times run into difficulty or need extra money for certain projects. And I'm just curious as to whether there's a way to, what are we going to do when the next one comes? And is there a way to be prepared or a way to come up with some sort of criteria where we look at these special one-time grants to the groups that we have that are providing special services that have one-time capital needs? Think of, for example, Meals on Wheels as an example, and we support them through the golf tournament. But if they run into a special need at some point in time needing money, how do we deal with it? Because they're going to know, like everybody's going to know that if you ask long enough, you're going to get. And now we've resulted in a support. And it's just, something that, you know, we need to all be prepared and think about.
Councillor Early.
Through you, Madam Chair. Councillor DeBoer, you certainly highlight the fact that we could go down a slippery slope. However, I've been able to spend a lot of time with CCS recently as I sit as part of the council representative on their board. And I certainly have seen the array of services that they provide for our residents throughout Caledon. And it really isn't just transportation. I mean, there is a lot of social services, a lot of community services that we sort of, you know, we get provided by them. And while I know there may be some members and some of my colleagues saying social services really is funded by the region or funded by the province, I believe this is a partnership, and I believe that it's a very interdependent partnership with CCS, and that we've given very few dollars to this organization. I like the way this motion is phrased in a one-time grant. They were funded by the LHINs. They're still being funded, but they used to be able to get a bus. They had a bus from two of their funders. That is no longer. I know Mr. Wong has done a very, very excellent job, a comprehensive job, looking at the whole transit piece and the $75,000 request. I would like for my colleagues to consider this one-time grant, and then we would sort of put things in motion to make sure that they look at different fundraising initiatives to ensure that they are sustainable for the future with this program. Just as a reminder, CCS is basically contracted out by TransHelp from the region of Peel. CCS does do seniors drives and community drives, and also long-term care. So they now are trying to ensure that they have accessible transportation for those individuals that need it, whether it be a student that's trying to get to university, somebody that has to connect with another GO line or another bus line, or whether it be a senior that needs to just get into town. So I would appreciate if we could give this some strong consideration. I think it is the right thing to do for us. Thank you.
Councillor Rosa.
I also echo the same message as Councillor Early, that it is very important. It's an important service we offer in our community, as well as in the past we haven't really funded this at a level that I believe is where the need is, and I really strongly believe that we should be considering this at this time.
Thank you. Seeing other speakers. I agree with Councillor DeBoer that this potentially is a slippery slope, because it is the responsibility of the Region of Peel to provide these services and programs for our residents. And by any means am I not, I'm not devaluing the importance of the work that they do within our community. They are a fabulous asset that provides a wonderful service to very many throughout our community. My concern is, their operating accounts are based on funding that they receive from the region and other grants, but it's clear that they don't have a structure in place to deal with their capital asset shortfall, which they've told us is going to continue to persist. And if coming to the town of Caledon and asking for us to continue to pick up that capital shortfall is their only solution, it has to be clear that that is not viable, that we can't continue to do it. They have to come up with another plan to deal with their capital shortfall. So I understand that they're sort of in a bind at this point, and if we don't approve this, that they may not provide the services that we need to our residents. But it has to be made very clear to the board that they need to find a solution to their capital asset problem, that we are not their solution, that they need to be working through the region and other opportunities. Very similar to a lot of the other services providers, whether it's Meals on Wheels or whatnot within our community. This is a lot of money, and a lot of money that could be used on a lot of great things in our community, not saying that it's not, but we need to find a solution. So I'm just going to put that forward. I will support this in the notion of saying, don't come back and ask me for more, because I can't. Maybe at the region, come and have that conversation there, but not at this table. Moved by Councillor Early, seconded by Mayor Thompson. All those in favor? Carried. And as amended. So that was the amendment. Now the main motion as amended. Moved by Councillor Early, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. All those in favor? Carried. Item 5.3, staff report 2019-0132, automated speed enforcement status update. That the province of Ontario, Ministry of Transportation of Ontario, be requested to list the town of Caledon in the provincial regulation related to automated speed enforcement, and that the town staff continue to work in collaboration with Peel Region, the Ministry of Transportation of Ontario, the Ministry of the Attorney General, other municipalities in Ontario, and the Ontario Traffic Council to further investigate how the automated speed enforcement ASCE program can be implemented and report back to council. I need a mover and a seconder. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor DeBoer, and this item was held by Mayor Thompson.
Thank you. I would like to ask staff if we could, as you go forward, to please include the OPP as well. They do have good hard data. I do understand that the Region Appeal is coming forward with something in December as far as school zones, but we need to develop where our community safety zones are. And I can use a really good example as such as Caledon Village. I was out west this summer. It doesn't matter if you're Saskatchewan or Calgary, people go, you know, when they're on an open highway, they're driving buck 30, buck 35, but when they come into a community of it's 50, they go 49. And they respect that. And I think this is something that we have to look at. I've been to just about every community on this term of council, to different community groups, and what's the biggest thing? It's traffic and speeding through our communities. I think this is just one way. I think John Tory is quite correct, or Mayor Tory, and that is if you want people to slow down, hit them in the pocketbook. This isn't points on their insurance. My understanding, and we need to get clarification on it, is that it's not appealable in court, and it goes on when you go to get your license plate. If you haven't paid your fines, you pay it there. But we got to find another way. We do not have enough police resources to slow traffic down. This is a problem we have everywhere. You can look at Forks of the Credit. You can look at Southfields. You can look at Park Places in Bolton and community zones all over the place. We have this is one tool that I think has been awarded to us. We just got to figure out how to do it. Now, there's a cost to this. And I would like to ask, because I know other communities are looking at it, but they're using it through their police budget as well, and that's something is that doable? And secondly, let's figure out where our community, you know, we got our school zones, where's our community safety zones as council. Let's figure out where we need to have this, to where to in place to put it, and start to build this in our budget the next 3 years when we know what the costs are on a lot of this. There's a lot of unknowns that we need to find out, but that's what I'm asking on this report is when it goes back. I know it's for information, but I encourage that you do include the OPP on this as well.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes, and through you. The OPP is not an issue. We have a great working relationship with the OPP, and it was just an omission from this report. In terms of appealable and costs and so on. We are working through the Ontario Traffic Council. They have set up working groups with municipalities across the province to deal with things like standard technology, what the rules are, whether they will be appealable. Because it's so new, we anticipate those costs are not known at this time. The technology standardization is not known at this time. Who will process these photos are not known at this time. But they are working through it, and once we know, I forgot. One of the more important things impacting the town will be the impact, if it is appealable, which it likely will be, the impact to the court system. So what resources, what additional resources we will need to go through the courts on these things. So once that is all known, we will certainly bring that forward to council. The pilot that is mentioned in the report, that is a pilot in conjunction with the Region Appeal, and certainly more information will come to council before that gets implemented.
Mayor Thompson, did you just want to do an amendment to add OPP formally?
Do we need that as an amendment, or you can take that as direction?
Direction is probably fine.
Well, for completeness, it may make it better just to have it amended.
Okay.
I move that we include the OPP as well.
Seconded by Councillor Rosa. All those in favour? Carried. Any other questions or concerns? Councillor DeBoer?
Thanks. The first one, I think the comment was made that the OPP is under-resourced. I don't know if this is necessarily the correct statement. I think this is just one more tool in the toolbox that allows them to deploy their resources differently in the whole package of enforcement. But is there enough information for red light cameras? Because I know in York, with York Region and York Town and the region of York, they have red light cameras deployed throughout the community. We don't have any here. Does the region have any in Brampton and Mississauga with your Peel Region Police?
What's wrong?
Is there some here?
So, Chair Innes, I just want to clarify, is the question, does the region have any red light cameras in Brampton? And
well, do we have any in Caledon?
Or ASEs? Sorry, is it?
No, this is a parallel question, and that's red light cameras.
Okay.
Because we don't have any automatic speed control yet.
Right. So through you, Chair Innes, in terms of red light cameras, I believe the region does have red light cameras set up in Brampton and Mississauga. And based on previous council direction, we are working with the region on red light cameras in Caledon.
So we are working on it?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. So now back to the main motion as moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor DeBoer as amended. All those in favor? Carried. 5.4 Staff Report 2019-0152 McLaren Wayside Pit Update, that the Town of Caledon only proceed with further wayside pits on unopened road allowances after public consultation, careful consideration, and a business case that addresses the concerns noted in Staff Report 2018-78. I need a mover and a seconder. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. This item was held by Mayor Thompson.
Yes. I would like to ask Mr. Wong. I know we asked and one of the motions was asked to have an audit done on this. Can you explain where we got? And I know the auditors were working on this. Can you tell us what the outcomes were and how we got where we are, please?
Mr. Wong.
Chair Innes, so I believe the question is I believe the question is that the request was for an audit, and the report before council is a report from our external auditors on agreed upon procedures. So basically, the town discussed council's request with the town's external auditor, and the town's external auditor reviewed the minutes from the 2018 meetings, staff reports, staff memos, correspondence from the delegates, and we all noted that there were concerns about weighscale tickets. There were concerns about whether such tickets even existed, verification of the tickets. There were concerns about the town's reporting of the financial funds received, related to the aggregate, whether the funds were actually indeed transferred to town reserves, the overall budget for the project, and what the expenditures, whether they're valid the expenditures were valid and relate to the project. So after reviewing all this information, the auditor proposed what's known as agreed upon procedures engagement. So rather than an audit, it would provide a review of specific it would review and provide their findings on specific concerns and the facts stated in the report. So they would perform, after the agreed upon procedures, they would perform work that is essentially audit work. And after that, then they would provide details of what they found. So they would perform work that's similar to an audit, no different than, so things like statistical sampling, they would vouch to source documents, and then they provide what they found, and that is what is before council. This option, when we discussed with our auditors, they provided a quote of $8,000, which was also cost effective. So this means that if we proceeded with a full audit, it would have cost more. So I think that's the explanation. I'm willing to take more questions on this.
No, I wanted to know the background, how we got here and why. So, and I know a lot we're looking for an auditor. I think they were looking for a full audit. So that's why I just wanted to understand where we got and how we got here. Thank you.
Councillor Sinclair.
Thank you. Millard's Chartered Professional Accountants have an accountant's report as the letter prefacing their findings in a box chart format. And they say straight out, the procedures performed do not constitute an audit or review engagement, and accordingly, no assurance is expressed. So, and they go on, simply, it's not an audit. It's not what was requested. And that's plain and simple. I guess there's the mystery of weigh scale tickets. There should have been a batch from the second line road allowance across the road to the Caledon pit. There should have been a batch from the Caledon pit to the Simpson Road projects. There should have been one from Caledon pit to James Dick's pit, where it was sorted, apparently. And there should have been another set from James Dick pit bringing back sand to the Caledon pit. So four different sets of scale tickets. And it's not clear in the discussion of the report what weigh scale tickets were used in the accounting review. So I have not been able to put head or tails on that. There should have been somewhere in here staff costs, which must have been considerable. You're not cheap, right? And a lot of staff time was spent on this project. And frankly, I think the aggregate industry just must be smirking at the town for the mess that we got ourselves into. And the reports somewhere say that, well, we didn't know what we were doing. We're not in the aggregate business. Well, yes, you are. You have an active pit license over the second line of McLaren Road at Quarry Road. So not knowing some of the ins and outs of the Aggregate Resources Act and the regulations, I don't think that reads very well. And so I find the whole project extremely discouraging. I think it was politically driven by a former mayor and a regional councillor, and that's why there was never a business case. I tried to do a calculation. There was a question, I think, a resident asked regarding who benefited. And certainly not the taxpayers of the town of Caledon. But you have to know that the Lafarge Flaherty pits are on both sides of the road allowance. And under the pit licenses to extract, they have to have a setback on either side of the road allowance of 100 feet. And then, of course, there'd be a tapering off slope to support the 100 feet. So in rough numbers, there was 250 feet of gravel sitting there that Lafarge couldn't get at as long as the road allowance was there. So I think that I calculated that Lafarge gained by about 3.8-something times what the gross tonnage was the town got out of the 66-foot road allowance. And Lafarge didn't have to spend a penny to get at it because the town did all the work getting an extraordinary license to excavate out a road allowance. And the Ministry of Natural Resources said, we're not licensing an active road allowance. So there was great hijinks to remove the identification of the road allowance. And I made a delegation when I was not on council and pointed out that, to my surprise, it wasn't just the length of the wayside pit that was removed from the road allowance, but the entire distance between Charleston and Beech Grove. And that has to be restored as soon as possible. There are still isolated lots in the middle. They may be owned jointly by a public utility or agency. Some of them may be owned by property owners that own land that abut Willoughby Road, but they're not always going to be in their hands. So we have a problem with landlocking lots. And I notice a note here somewhere in one of the reports, oh, well, the person that lives at the very top of the road, well, we've got to investigate them because, gosh, they've got a driveway along the road allowance into their place. Well, it's a corner lot. They have a right to access the road allowance on the side. And as I pointed out in the previous delegation, if they went straight out to Beech Grove, they'd be at the bottom of a steep hill, very dangerous. Whereas they exit out onto Second Line Road Allowance and go up to Beech Grove, they're at the top of a hill and it's safe. So I think I'll have to bring forward notices of motion directing staff to restore the legal status of the road allowance. And secondly, I noticed somewhere in the reports there was a whopping $400,000 or so surplus for the entire project. Well, that means there's lots of money to do a proper restoration of the road allowance that was all torn up by the pit extraction. So we need to put topsoil back in there, and we need to do it in native tree planting back in there as it was originally. Right? The road allowance was never farmed, so all the topsoil that was ever there was there to strip off. So I just find it an extremely disturbing and unfortunate initiative by the town of Caledon over a period of years. And we've just got to clean it up. But audit, not done. Very discouraging, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Councillor St. Clair, because it is on the agenda and it is before you, you could also do an amendment. And if you'd like, I can take a couple minutes break and you can have a conversation with staff about creating an amendment to restoring this, the road allowance, as you were suggesting. Did you want to do that? Instead of doing a notice of motion and it coming back.
So perhaps rather than stopping the meeting, we could go through the agenda and work on this.
Or you can bring it forward to council as well. Sorry. You know,
well, I was thinking of doing it at council.
But you can make an amendment next week at council, and then it's dealt with all at once.
Good idea. Thank
you. So as long as this passes, then it stays on the agenda for the next council meeting, and then you can make the amendment at council.
So what are we doing? Referring this to council?
No. So it has to pass today, and then next week when it comes up, you can hold it and make your amendment.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
I would support the having the amendment to the report so that we can get the road allowance back into a finished manner. But I know the report also talks about that we would question whether we would do it again or do it over certainly a different process. At the time when we talked about it, we needed to build a road, and I think we did accomplish that, but I think we did learn a lot. We learned a lot out of this exercise as a municipality, and at the time when we first started down this we thought we were going to be saving lots of money, and it didn't really turn out to that way, and it turned into a lot of extra work that it really didn't have to be that way. But we did accomplish something, and I think we've got the history now within the organization as to what how successful we were. But at that time, we all thought that this was the best way to get a couple of projects completed, and we've made the best out of what we can, and let's restore the property of the right-of-way back to something that we can all be proud of, and by the looks of the report, there should be some dollars to do that with and move on. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor St. Clair?
Thank you. Just a quick point. Memory's a bit hazy going back into the 90s, but I think we may have licensed the first line east north of Escarpment Side Road, bordering the James Dick sand and gravel pits. So that would be the Warnick Lakeside and the original Caledon Sand Side. So, and I'm not sure that they've got a full 100-foot setback either side of that road. So we own the land as a right-of-way, but there may actually be a license on it, and perhaps staff could do a little trivial pursuits and see if that was actually done. And it would be useful to bookmark the set of reports that Mr. Wong has prepared so we have some future council has something to learn from in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. All those in favor? Carried. Now on to item 7.1. Moved by Councillor Groves and seconded by Councillor Rosa. Investing in Canada's infrastructure program, community culture and recreation proposed Rotary Place expansion. Whereas the Investing in Canada infrastructure program, community culture and recreation is a cost-shared program between the federal government, 40%, provinces, 33.33%, and the municipality is 26.67%, that supports community infrastructure priorities across the province, improving access to and or quality of community, cultural and recreational opportunity infrastructure projects. Whereas priority is given to projects that are community-oriented, non-commercial, and open to the public, projects must be completed prior to 2027-2028. Whereas the town has completed a conceptual design for the proposed Rotary Place expansion. Whereas the seniors has expressed a need for an arts and culture component to be added to the proposed Rotary Place expansion and have suggested the addition of a lecture hall being added to the basement of Rotary Place. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the remaining funds in the amount of $78,137.84 in Capital Project 17-071 Rotary Place Expansion Design be repurposed for the conceptual design of a lecture hall in the basement of Rotary Place, and that staff apply for funding for the Investing in Canada Infrastructure Program Community Culture and Recreation Stream for the expansion of the Rotary Place for the lecture hall, estimated at a construction cost of $6 million. This item was held by Councillor Downey. And it was, Councillor Groves isn't here, so I do need a mover. So moved by Councillor Rosa, seconded by Mayor Thompson. Councillor Downey, do you have any questions or do you want me just to? Okay, which is me. So where did the construction cost of $6 million come from? Where did that estimate come from? Ms. Tollett.
Through you, Chair. So in the budget that we currently have to do the expansion of the Rotary Place, which we'll see in the 2020 budget, it's $4.4 million to expand the building now. To actually dig down basically the same footprint, so the same footprint up with doing down plus additional work because now you're going into the basement. We've worked with our project manager on some other projects to get the cost, and that's where the $6 million came from. So it's a little bit more than what you would for the above, but now you're digging down some additional costs and engineering to go down.
So it's a total of $10 million project in total if we were to do the basement?
Correct.
And did we apply for infrastructure grant funding for the main expansion?
The main expansion, we're not recommending at this point to fund it through that grant because it's funded through DC's majority of it and then portion tax. The basement was never anticipated in the DC. In the last DC study when we did, we never included it. So, and it would be all taxed, so that's why we would fund it through the infrastructure grant.
So my concern is the wording of the motion potentially would have us on the hook for $1.3 million. Is that correct?
I believe it's about 1.6, but yes, that's correct. So if by any chance we do get approval for the grant, we would have to come back to council for that money.
It's a lot of money. And my other question is, what is the closing deadlines for the grant process that the feds currently have, the Investing in Canada Infrastructure Program?
Through Chair, you have to apply by November 21st.
Okay. For this amount of money, I would really like to see the business case and a full report come to us. It's a lot of money that we're just, I understand the value of it and what we're trying to do, and we're already doing the work. And now that I'm speaking, the board's lighting up. I have some concern that this potentially is going to have us on the hook for 1.6, if not more, if we don't get provincial agreement for their portion of the funding. Because if it's a federal program, there's no guarantee that the province is going to. We already know that the province is doing budget cuts, and I would presume these are the types of grants that are potentially going to be on the chopping block.
So, through chair, we wouldn't commit to anything unless we did get the grant. And yes, we would have to pay our share for the tax portion of it, and then also any additional operating costs as well.
So we don't even know how much the operating cost potentially is going to be as an impact as a part of our budget. And $1 million is already a point on our tax base, would be a tax increase of a percentage point based on the last round of taxes. That's not even considering this point. I just think for this amount of money, I think that we need more information than the motion that's before us. It's a great idea. I know that we're doing it, and it's unfortunate that we weren't starting this process when this expansion started. And it's not that it's a no. I just need a little bit more. What's the operating cost potentially going to be? What does this mean to our budget process for 2020? Because that's a huge portion of what our budget process will be for 2020. We need to know what that impact is going to be on the rest. And is it going to impact any of the other recreational or arts programs or funding envelopes that we already have, like in Southfields or in Caledon East with phase 3 and 4 here and the town hall campus? So I think that we need an overall bigger picture in order for me to feel comfortable making this go through. So, Councillor DeBoer.
I know our staff are very active in when grants like this come forward. Was staff looking at any other projects, or were they looking at the original project here to apply for? Or had we been looking at this grant, or is it just something new that just came up?
Through Chair, to Councillor DeBoer, this came out through a meeting with the seniors group wanting to look at options for this expansion. We were proceeding already with the Rotary expansion as part of the 2020 budget request. We don't have any other projects that we were putting into consideration for this at this point, because a lot of our expansion projects are funded, majority of it DCs. So if you were to apply for a grant at this scale, you have to take the DCs off the top and then the splits after. So I would rather not fund a project that's already in the DC study with a funding grant, and we don't have any other projects we would consider at this point. This came up just through discussions with the seniors group wanting this as an option. So we're bringing it forward for council to decide. If council doesn't want us to do it, we would just wouldn't apply.
With the grant, so if I understand this resolution entirely, the discussion with the seniors group is to add the auditorium to the project and use the grant to subsidize some of the cost. But my question, it was, has there been thought about the grant? The grant, as I understand it now, wouldn't be something we would want to apply to, for example, the facility next door, because we would have to take DCs out of the project. So is this the only project that we have that we would want to apply to see if we could get grant money for, and can we apply for the grant money for the original concept of the project without the auditorium, or does it not apply unless you have the auditorium? Do you kind of get that?
Through you, Chair, to Councilor DeBoer. So the announcement just came out recently at AMLS, so we really have not much information on it. Again, for a project to be funded this way, you want something that's funded completely taxed, so then the split works. If not, when there's a development or there's a project that's already in your DC study, the funding split changes. So for the expansion next door, we really have it in the next term of council, and it's already funded majority from DC. So we wouldn't contemplate that. Even for the next phase, it's, again, potentially DCs. So the funding wouldn't be the same, because you would have to change the model. So that's why we don't have anything right now that's completely tax-funded that we would consider. This, again, just came up through discussions through the seniors that we already had the Rotary place, that's already in the DC study. So it's going to be funded in a certain split from DC and tax in the next term. If we wanted to do this basin portion, it would delay that project because we have to wait and see if we would ever, if we're successful for the grants, because the projects have to be shovel ready and ready to go. And we're just actually doing the conceptual design now. So I'm not sure how we would be, how successful we are to the grants, but it was recommended to try to apply for the grant. However, in saying that, if you do, you do have to fund that difference.
Yeah, and I think that's also where you have trouble is we've got to fund the difference and then the operating and ongoing costs associated with it. So those are pieces that are missing, and I guess if this is an announcement, by the sounds of things, it's an announcement the staff haven't had a chance to find out the details of the grant program and how and what the intent of the government is with it. Is that also a good conclusion?
That's correct, because we haven't done the assessment to say how this would cost operating-wise, what the long-term effect of that. It just came out through, why don't we do the basement, how much would that cost? So this is just our calculation of the construction costs. We haven't done any of that analysis. For the 2020 budget, we have some preliminary costs on the rotary expansion for operating, and that you'll see coming in the budget.
But very little detail on this grant program as
correct.
Well, though, right? So, you know, I think this could be there, but have it, you know, I would think that we could look at this being there, but then having staff look at what the details of the grant program are and finding out whether other projects would fit within the grant program as well, and then weighing out different projects. Because, you know, without knowing the details of the grant program, you really are just kind of throwing a project out and seeing what happens without having the details.
Mayor Thompson.
It's interesting. If we had that attitude, we never got the Pan Am Games off the ground. Where I'm going with this is a provincial initiative with federal money that's come forward, and the lot of provinces had already announced back in the spring, and we announced, or the province announced this mansion at AMO starting September 4th. So we're trying to find more information going forward. My question is this is the only way we're ever going to get a culture, theater, lecture hall, whatever it is for a community. And one thing with seniors, you're guaranteed of an audience, so you got a guaranteed of a cash flow return of some kind of an investment. But secondly is, when we're looking at this, why aren't we looking at the whole project like combined as a $10 million project, so that we've got our share of the money already invested looking at the whole thing? Yeah, the lecture hall is part of it, but why aren't we looking at the whole thing as an issue?
Ms. Tollett?
Through Chair, so the rotary place design for the upstairs portion, or the original design, has already been done. Construction was, if approved in the 2020 budget, would start in the next coming years. Again, it's funded majority of DCs and a portion of a tax. So we didn't ask for the full portion because that would change the split on how much money you would have to ask. We put this notice of motion and made sure that you realize that if we bring forward this application and bring forward the grant, if for some reason the town's successful, is council prepared to pay the difference of the 1.6? As far as I'm concerned, staff will do what council directs us to do. So at this point, we've put it in. We can apply for the grant. But I just wanted to make sure council is aware that if we are somehow successful, there is a cost to it.
Well, sure, it's no different than what we did with the Pan Am Games for what we got in the final investment on an asset. So you're putting 1.6 in and getting for $6 million. That's a pretty good return on the investment. It's the only way we're ever going to get a theater. Any other way, it's going to be a full bore. So here's an opportunity. Let's see what we can do with it. When we're saying $6 million, is that building the lecture hall or is that just building the basement?
Ms. Tollett.
That's the construction estimated, high-level estimated construction cost for the lecture hall, the basement part, right?
Yeah.
So the equivalent square footage that's upstairs, downstairs. So 9,000 square feet upstairs, 9,000 square feet downstairs, including additional requirements for accessibility and so on, because you know you're building downstairs.
Understood. So that's why I was just making sure it's just not paying for the foundation hole. It's equipping it as well. Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Rosa.
So my thought on this is I certainly don't want to miss this opportunity. I believe it's worth investigating. This is something new that was brought forward and we learned about at AMO. I believe it will definitely be fulfilling a need in the community. I believe the opportunities for this to be a cost recovery type of project is also on the table, should be something that's considered. I just don't want to miss an opportunity to have something that has clearly been a need in our community. Because we don't meet deadlines, we're not able to get all the information in time. I truly believe that the only way we're ever going to get anything like this is in partnership. And if this is the partnership that's going to prove that to be the best option for us to fulfill this need, then I really seriously think we need to consider it, as well as it is one of our goals in the work plan. And at the end of the day, it will create a better balance. I'm going to bring you back to what I learned during the visioning exercise that was conducted for recreation in Caledon, where the consultants told our community that the majority of our recreation facilities are for healthy, active living and sports, and very little to fulfill the need in arts and culture. So with that in mind, it's very hard for me to ignore this opportunity. I think it needs to be something we consider very seriously at this time. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. Does staff know the timelines? Like, when is the application deadline? When do you expect to hear back? Those sort of things.
Through Chair, all we know is the deadline at this point. Normally it takes about 6 months or so before they announce anything, but we just know November 21st is the time to submit.
I think having not just the high-level construction costs, when you say November? So we have still another council meeting between now and then. And I'm just wondering whether some more detail with potential operating costs, so that we have an idea of the full potential costs of that component to the facility, whether that's doable or not between now and the deadline, and whether staff could work on the application as well as getting information as to how much it would cost to operate it and the other costs that would go, and whether the $6 million is kind of high level, whether there could be some more detail to that. Is it possible? And then bring it back then and we'd have a better idea? Or
through Chair, I can certainly work with staff on figuring out the operating costs of it, because that is pretty straightforward based on square footage. This is the utility costs and so on. But the types of things we're using it for, that might take a little bit more work. But I have to talk to staff and see what they think.
Because we did have, Councillor Rosa talks, we did have some of the exercise that we went through before, whether any of that is usable in with this, which would give us some of the work already completed.
So through Chair, staff, again, I have to go back to them and go through that. I understand some of the work was done in David's department. I can certainly work with him and his staff and our staff to figure out the operating costs and bring that back to council. So it would just be high-level estimates. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it would give us more detail to it. So I would entertain maybe a motion to refer this back to staff so that we can maybe get some more information around it, and they could work towards preparing the application form so that we have a more full business case for it.
To refer it back to staff for a staff report at the next council meeting?
Yes.
General committee meeting?
General committee meeting. So it's roughly it'll be a month's time.
Ms. Teller?
Is that?
So through you, Chair, to Councilor DeBoer, we can certainly work on that. I just want to add one detail. So in order for us to actually be shovel ready, we need to do the conceptual design of downstairs. It hasn't been done. Part of this notice of motion was to take the remaining money from the design of the original Rory Place, which has $78,000 left over, to do that design downstairs, because in order to apply, you have to be shovel ready. So staff will have to do that conceptual work now to make sure it's even possible to do it and use that money to make sure it can and what the design would look like. And that will also assist with the operating costs too.
Interesting, because even to you need to know whether it's even a doable exercise. And will it take $70,000 to do, like, that seems like a lot of money to do a conceptual design and the geotech work that would be required to see if that's going to work?
Ms. Tollett.
Through you, Chair. So I have to go back and see how much the original design was. I think it was about $125,000 to the upstairs. So, because we had an original budget for it and then added additional funding, and this is the remaining. In talking to staff, this is probably sufficient to do that design conceptual work. We'll probably use the same firm that we used to do the upstairs. So I think that's more than enough. Anything that's not used goes back to the original source, which was tax.
I guess the only comment I could make, and I see there's some more speakers that would comment, but I just wonder, regardless of what we're going to do, if we're going to move forward with the concept or not, one of the ways to eliminate the yes or no would be to find out whether it's even doable in the first place. I would suspect that you're probably looking at more costs in the overall construction design, so that, you know, it would be, I think, a good exercise to continue with doing the design work and securing that it is a location or that it can be done with what you've got and with the design that you've got. So I think that probably has to be done even to move forward with a yes or a no. So mine would be that the amendment would be is that that we refer it to staff for more information but allow the design, the design work continue with the 78 or whatever, that paragraph, allow it to continue, but then have more information come back to council if we move forward any farther.
Ms. Tollett, how much time do you think that you would need to bring a report back to council that's a little bit more fulsome, that has information about the operating cost, the actual cost of the project, even though this is really high level, vision, because I think that this is important enough that there's no reason that we can't have a special council meeting to deal with it, because we don't want to miss the opportunity if the opportunity exists. But it's a lot of money, and I, for one, would like a little bit more information to feel comfortable and confident in my support of it. If you want to think about it, I have some other speakers too.
So you through you, Chair, so we can aim for the next meeting, which I believe is October 22nd. There is a budget meeting on the 19th. Perhaps we can bring that then.
Could you do it even sooner? And just if you have to have the conceptual design done in order for the application to be submitted at the end of November, how many weeks are they going to take in order to do a conceptual design? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we need that information too. I'm just suggesting that we could even have, like, if depending on you, if you need a week or 2 weeks, then we have another council meeting.
So then I have to talk to staff, and I'll talk to the interim CAO and figure out what the next steps are.
I'm just going to leave it at that, and I'll let the other councillors speak. Councillor Early.
Thanks. I think Councillor DeBerg covered a lot. So I'm also interested in costing, but Ms. Tollett, I've got a question, and the question is, and I think I'm understanding the prerequisites. So because this is shovel ready, and because there's a timeline for these grant dollars, this is one of our only options that we can look at. And also keeping in vain with Councillor Rosa saying that, you know, this vision study clearly indicates that we've got a lot of healthy, active lifestyle recreation, but that we are weak on the art side. And this is why we're trying to move this quickly on this facility. I guess where my head's at is there's something else in the town of Caledon that we could build that would be on the art side that would also utilize these fund dollars, or is it because of the timing for this shovel-ready piece? Like, why are we on the Rotary Club? Just wanting to understand.
So, through you, Chair, it was a request from the Rotary Club, actually. That's the only reason why it's come up. I don't have another project that we would necessarily apply for it. The upstairs portion is shovel-ready and has the design done. In order for the downstairs portion to be ready, we would have to do the design first. So, because in order to apply for the grant, you have to be considered shovel-ready. So if we do that work ahead and then try to figure out timing on a report that speaks to the results of that design work and also the operating costs, and we'll see what about timing for that.
Got that. I guess my head was just going, was there any other options? So I guess some extra information would be greatly appreciate, only because where I would say, and I know Councillor Rosa, you've been sort of on the wagon trying to get some arts into the town of Caledon, which I fully support. I just want to make sure that we're making sure we utilize those dollars in the right facility. That's all. Thank you.
Councillor Rosa.
So one of the suggestions that I'm going to make here is if the footprint of the basement is going to be the same as the upstairs, okay? In order to expedite this, my recommendation would be to staff is to bring back Novita Techne, who is the consultant we hired when we were evaluating other properties for this project. Novita Techne, under $10,000, was able to give us conceptual drawings for if we provide the footprint of the square footage. And their turnaround seems to be around the 3 to 4 week mark. That might be a more affordable way of actually looking at what this would look like, and it could be appropriate as part of the submission, because I think a theater consultant can look at the square footage and the footprint of the upstairs, say that we're going to create that in the basement, and then they would be able to provide a more detailed sort of lecture hall, if you will. And I do remember that the costs for when we were evaluating, for example, the room at Albion Bolton Community Center, that it was just under $10,000 to do that. So I'm not sure that we would need the $78,000 to do this work. And I know that it would make sense to go with the people that we were originally working with, but in lieu of the time factor that we have here and trying to get stuff done quickly, that might be an option, because we have worked with them and they have provided some very detailed drawings to us that were very useful when we were evaluating the projects.
So I'm going to ask Ms. Tollett, but then I'm also going to ask Mr. Wong, because we're also going to be getting into a procurement process, and that's another question that I had with regards to the up to $78,000 for conceptual design. Are we required to go through a procurement process for that? Because that takes weeks.
Through Chair Innes, I believe there are provisions in our purchasing bylaw that allow for single sourcing if it makes good business sense. And in this case, having the same designer consultant that did the upstairs do the design of the downstairs makes good sense. From a business point of view also, or from a future construction point of view, if and when the project is approved, then it moves over to my group to actually procure the contractors to construct and oversee the construction. Having multiple designers is an issue for us, because one designer that did the conceptual, passing it on to the detailed, who do we hold accountable in the future for design issues? So we, from a project management during construction point of view, we would rather keep the one designer, and then when there are issues in the future, then we can go to that one designer to work out issues or to hold accountable.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Rosa? No. Mayor Thompson?
Okay, sum up with Councillor Rosa, and I'll go back to Mr. Arbuckle. We really haven't, I know we made some inquiries, but we had that pending with that particular group that had been looking at all the different places where we could put a theater. It's still open-ended. It isn't like it's been totally closed off, that to go through procurement, we can still ask them for one more site, right, for a design on what that would look like. I agree where Ms. Tollett wants to go with the designer, but I mean just even how the theater would look. I think we could probably get a concept with them without having to do procurement, because we have been asking them for doing these one-off projects as we've been finding through the town.
So through Chair to Mayor Thompson. So ultimately, if council decides that they want to move forward using the additional resources for the design, we certainly could contact the vendor who was doing the work for us before. That contract is done
okay.
In relation to that piece, but we certainly could contact them to see if there's an opportunity for them to contribute to that discussion.
I was just wondering if that was doable without going through a full procurement process, because we've already vetted them to look at everything else. That's why I was just wondering for timeliness. I know the challenge that we had with both arenas that we built here was the same way as on, and we used the same contractor both times to be able to meet the timelines that we did. But I think the motion explains itself. I think with staff, are we comfortable that we could turn around and be able to deliver where we want to go off this? I'm just trying to round things up because everybody's had a lot to say here.
Ms. Tollett.
So to you, Chair, and as to Mayor Thompson, so I talked to staff about doing the design work. They don't anticipate an issue using the existing design company that did the upstairs. We would have to engage them into doing it. There is a little bit more to it than just designing the hall. They have to look at how they map the two pieces together and how that would work from an engineering point of view. We will work on that as quickly as possible so that we, and I already said that we were going to start it as soon as we get some guidance from council so that we can move forward, and then we can work on the operating costs, and then we'll figure out timing for the report.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I don't actually have I don't know if Councillor DeBoer wanted to actually put forward a motion to refer it back to staff for a report as soon as possible back to council, even if it required a special council meeting.
Well, I think that we can if that's what's needed, but it sounds like staff are going to, we probably should have a motion to support what staff's doing, and that is to allow them to get the preliminary design work done like they're suggesting using the contractor that we've got, and then coming back with a report, probably if you're thinking that the 2 or 3 weeks to do some of that, we'll actually come back with a preliminary report with financials, but it'll also tell us how it's all going to work. So I would wonder, we'll probably need a motion. I would ask the clerk. That's the other one at the other end, Carrie.
Yes. I have one in front of me that says that the notice of motion be referred back to staff to report back to council as soon as possible at the next, I'm just going to say as soon as possible, because we want it, even if it's before the general committee meeting, then fine. And that the remaining funds in the amount of $78,137.84 in capital project 17-071 Rotary Place Expansion Design be repurposed for the conceptual design of a lecture hall and the basement of the Rotary Place. We just had a big discussion about $75,000 for a bus for the community, and now we're talking about $78,000 for a conceptual design that we may not even use. Or that we may use. I'm surprised that everybody's just saying, we just told people that we're having a hard time finding them $75,000 for a bus for our community, but we're going to create a conceptual design, which is tax-based funding, if I'm not correct. It's not DC funding that we're using. This is tax dollars that we're using on a conceptual design that we may or may not use without more information. I can't support $78,000 without more information. I'm sorry. If nobody wants to put a motion forward, I'll vote the way that I need to vote, and you guys can vote the way that you need to. Mayor Thompson.
I think if you look at the motion, I think it's pretty much it's to go back. Staff just need direction to do that. I think we're doing it. Referring it back is just really convoluting what we're really wanting to do. I think. There's
Mayor Thompson, to interrupt you, the motion before you does not refer it back to staff for a staff report.
No, the amendment.
So I need a mover to move the amendment.
Well, no, but okay, you haven't got a mover on the amendment. I thought you had a mover.
Moved by Councillor Downey.
Well, I thought Councillor DeBoer moved it.
Councillor DeBoer, do you want to move it?
It's his amendment.
Okay. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey. That the notice of motion be referred back to staff for a report back to council as soon as possible. Period. I think staff have enough direction.
I think staff have enough direction without the amendment. That's what I was trying to get at.
The amendment has to occur.
No, it doesn't. The direction of the motion is right here for them to work on.
The motion actually says for them to spend the $78,000 for conceptual design and to apply for the grant, is what the motion says. Councillor DeBoer's amendment says to refer it back to staff and for a report to come back to council to spend the $78,000 and to apply for the grant.
So we're going to get nothing done.
So I want to be very clear that now there's an amendment on the table moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey, that the main motion be referred back to council to staff to come back to council with a full report as soon as possible. And if that means at the call of the mayor we have to have a special council meeting, then we do, to meet the timelines. Any speakers to the amendment? Councillor, do you want to speak to it?
Yeah,
Councillor Rosa.
I would just like to have a deadline on it. I this open-ended makes me a little nervous because we are trying to meet a deadline here of November 21st. And I as much as I don't want to give additional pressure to the staff, and I really believe we need a deadline on this so that we can ensure that we're not missing the opportunity. Thank you.
Ms. Tollett.
So through you, Chair, so we could probably talk to staff this week and provide that at council meeting next week. It should also note that in the amendment, we're talking about single sourcing to the company that we are having now to do the design.
You know what? I'm going to call a five-minute recess so that we can have a discussion to make sure that everything is in the recommendation as possible. If we have to talk about sole sourcing and whatnot, I think that we need to have 5 minutes to make sure that we get it right. Okay? So just call a 5-minute recess. Okay, so I have an amendment to the amendment that the remaining funds in the amount of $78,137.84 in capital project 17-071 Rotary Place Expansion Design be repurposed for the conceptual design of a lecture hall in the basement of Rotary Place, that James Freight Architects be awarded a single source contract to an upset limit of $78,137.84. This is the amendment to that amendment. I need a mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey. Any comments, questions, or concerns? All those in favor? Carried. Now back to the amendment as amended. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey. All those in favor? Carried. Then we don't have to do the main motion because it refers it back. Nope, that item's now done because it was a referral. 7.2. I can't move it because I'm cheering. So moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. Whereas train whistling is an important way to keep drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians safe, the Canadian Rail operating rules require all trains to whistle whenever they approach a public grade crossing, whereas the town of Caledon has 28 train crossings, 21 along town roads and 7 along regional roads throughout the municipality. Whereas Transport Canada has an application process to start to stop train whistling at a public grade crossing. Whereas a resident has requested that the municipality apply to Transport Canada to stop the train whistling at the crossing on Duffy's Lane, now therefore be it resolved that staff be directed to investigate the process to stop train whistling at the crossing on Duffy's Lane and report back. This item was held by Mayor Thompson.
Thank you. I'm supporting this because it's asking staff to report back. But I can tell you this has come to AMO a number of times as well as rural municipalities. So here's the deal. Transport Canada will say, absolutely, we can stop the train whistle here. But now you assume full liability on that crossing. Your insurance companies now will not cover you. They will cancel your insurance. So it's pretty severe. And Rockwood's a really good example of that situation. So I'm going to ask staff to go away and report back, but I think that's what you're going to find.
Any other comments, questions, or concerns? Councillor DeBoer, no?
Well, it's just that we did do the same exercise on King Road, Coleraine, and there was one other one in my ward, and we worked through that. So we did get to that and got to that conclusion. So we just have to go through it and see where we end up.
All those in favor? Carried. Mm-hmm. 7.3, I need a mover and a seconder because Councillor Groves is not here. Moved by Councillor Rosa, seconded by Mayor Thompson. Whereas the population of Caledon increases in ages, there will continue to be a need for increased levels of service for snow removal. Whereas requests for assistance in winter maintenance efforts to maintain safe access and ingress routes from private properties to public right-of-ways has increased. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the town staff be directed to develop a business case on the purchase of winter windrow clearing machines and a proposed new winter windrow clearing service level for consideration in the 2020 budget. This item was held by Councillor Rosa.
So I would just like to see a paragraph added to this.
Make an amendment?
Yes. And that in regards to the business case, that it include the service level options of the entire municipality, and also a second part, which for urban centers only including Bolton, Southfields, and Caledon East. So we're trying to see if we can get this information before we make a decision on this.
I need a seconder for the amendment. Seconded by Councillor Downey. Any questions, comments, or concerns to the amendment only? Councillor St. Clair, are you to the amendment?
Yes, thank you. I was around for the original kerfuffle that actually came out of Bolton. There were some icy sidewalks, so suddenly it became imperative that we clear snow on all sidewalks. And the then Director of Public Works announced he could do it for $42,000. And I asked him for clarification, do you mean you can do it for $42,000 for the entire town of Caledon? And he just blurted out, oh yes, well, no, he couldn't. And I don't know where that number is, but it's way over $100,000 a year just to clear sidewalks. And this notion alarms me, because now you have to have special equipment, because the sidewalk clearing machines won't work, because they have V-plows. So you're probably having to have tracked vehicles of some kind with six-way blades on them to go in and scuff the snow aside for each driveway, whether or not they've cleared the driveway themselves yet or not. So this is going to cost an unbelievable amount of money to send machines in for every little residential street and scuff out every little driveway's windrow. And you're still going to get complaints because, well, you didn't get there fast enough for me on my property. So I've had two requests to help with removing windrows from older people. And I would like to see some effort that I think we have to have community service for high school students. Maybe they could be detailed to help certain individuals out as part of that. Or actually, students are people that are available to earn a couple of bucks by shoveling them out for older people. But actually having a municipal service with all the equipment, trying to clear out all the driveways in the whole town, is a staggering notion. Thank you.
Thank you. I gave a little bit of leeway, just a reminder to the next speakers, we're just speaking to this amendment, not the main motion. Councillor Early.
I just want to make sure that the business case includes Mayfield West and Valleywood if we do this study, right? Well, Southfield is not Valleywood, and Southfield is not Mayfield West. So I just want to make sure that we just include everything that is in the urban sprawl, or urban, as we consider urban centers. Thank you.
So did you want to make an amendment to the amendment? It's settlement boundaries. So Southfield settlement boundary would include Valleywood and Mayfield West. Okay. Okay. So the amendment before you is moved by Councillor Rosa and seconded by Councillor Downey. All those in favor of the amendment? Carried. Any speakers to the main motion as amended? I do have one question for Mr. Wong and maybe even for other directors that are before us. I think that this is probably the best way, as we're heading into the budget process, to bring things forward that we'd like to see discussed. As an example, I'll support this coming forward through in the budget process, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to support it when it comes time to the budget. But I think it's a good way for us to get our items of concerns and issues brought forward on the budget instead of you giving us a budget and then us throwing changes into it. If there are some things now, and I'm looking to Mr. Wong and other members of SMT, do you like us giving you things like this now in this form as you're starting to do those budget processes, or do you prefer us to throw it all on you at once and change the budget in the last minute?
Chair Innes, our preference is that if there are major concerns that come up and council would like staff to investigate as part of the budget, again, not they don't necessarily will form part of the budget, but the information will be there before council when they deliberate on the budget. Certainly the notices of motion are helpful. That is not to say that they are not already captured by staff. Some of them may be. So we develop the budget based on master plans, based on condition assessments and so on. And also during the year when we receive complaints from residents, when we go out and do our own inspections, we receive inquiries from counselors. If we note something that is large enough in terms of dollar cost to repair or replace and is not in our current budget, we will make a note of it so that we capture it as part of the future budget. But certainly items like this, the Windrow service, it doesn't hurt to have a notice motion so that it guarantees that we will consider it and provide that information to council as part of the budget.
Thank you. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. I'm all for asking the question. I think it's really important to know what that case will look like, whether it be in the rural areas or the settlement boundaries. I guess kind of a question regarding Councillor Sinclair's point in regards to volunteers and maybe looking at this situation from a different lens. Who's department would that fall under? Would it be community services? Would it be strategic initiatives? I know I've had contractors approach me in the community saying, you know, I'd like to give back to the community, maybe in an in-kind way. We do snow removal. Can I help seniors? Then it's a matter of where do we get those lists? How do we find the people that are in need? So who starts that conversation?
Mr. Wong.
Chair Innes, in the past, we have been approached, the Finance and Infrastructure Services Department has been approached by schools. I believe it was St. Cornelius School who has a program where students are assigned or matched up to seniors that need driveway and windrow clearing service. And I believe there was another organization called Senior Savers that approached the town. So when the town received complaints about windrows or calls regarding assistance related to windrow service or driveway clearing service, we would actually provide the phone numbers to those residents so that they can make the call themselves and do the connection. I believe we have since heard that either one or both of those organizations are no longer in this business, so certainly if there are organizations that do provide that service, we can make the connections when we receive the calls.
Thank you. Councillor Rosa.
Unfortunately, through the schools, those programs have been pulled due to the liability of minors going out and having to do that work. You would require a work education agreement for every student and every location, and it would have to be supervised by a teacher or a school administrator. So these are the reasons why, as much as they wanted to do community outreach and there was a lot of, you know, social justice groups and so on available, but these programs are no longer operating because if a student gets injured during that, there's a big question on who's going to be responsible.
Thank you. So moved by Councillor Rosa, seconded by Mayor Thompson as amended. All those in favor? Carried. The next item on the agenda is correspondence. Is there anything in the correspondence package that requires action? And Councillor Rosa, this is the one that you'll want to...
Yes.
Do you want to go first?
So in regards to the correspondence from the BIA, We're requesting that staff be directed to review the BIA's request dated May 22, 2019, in consultation with the BIA and report back to the council as part of the 2020 budget deliberations. I think it's very important that we work with them to prioritize, to look at what their needs are, and more importantly, what are the priorities moving forward. So some work needs to be done on that so that we can deliberate on it. So I'm hoping that we can add that.
Yes. 8.2.6, moved by Councillor Rosa, that staff be directed to review the BIA's requested date May 22, 2019 in consultation with the BIA and report back to Council as part of the 2020 budget deliberations. And seconded by Mayor Thompson. All those in favor? Carried. Councillor Rosa, anything further? Yes, you do? Yeah. You have to turn your mic back on, sorry. Thank you.
There's some correspondence from the from Lorraine Marsh regarding the GO Bus service in Bolton, and that we are requesting to present submitted by Lorraine Marsh regarding the GO Bus service be approved and scheduled for Tuesday, September the 24th, 2019. We're hoping that this presentation can happen.
Moved by Councillor Rosa, seconded by Mayor Thompson. All those in favor? Carried. Anything else? Councillor Rosa?
That's all.
That's it. Mayor Thompson?
Yes, I would like to. I got two that I want to bring forward. The blue dot, which is 8.1-2, and 8.1-3, the one-time grant. So if I could start with the blue dot, I thought it was a fantastic report. I do agree. Made in Caledon would be ideal. Could you please work and reach out with the farm community as well so that we can make this a good exercise?
Do you want to just leave that as direction?
Yep.
Okay.
And secondly, for the one-time grant, I noticed there is still, this is about, one-time monies, but it's basically to bring us into the 21st century. Is there anything we can do here in the council chamber so that we can put our council meetings out on, even if we hang an iPad up in the back corner? I think we can afford one of those with what we have left over. But is there any way we could see of being able to get communication out on what goes on at the council meetings? I'm glad to see the paper here today, but we don't see them very often anymore. I guess they don't like us, but I'm just wondering if there's just other methods that we can use to upgrade our council chamber for technology.
Mr. Arbuckle, I think.
Sure. Through the chair to Mayor Thompson. So we, from our communications and marketing strategy, we do have a plan in this term of council to have that discussion with legislative services about what opportunities may exist as far as broadcasting council sessions. So, yeah, it is front and center for us within this term of council.
Would this grant money work for that?
It potentially. Again, it depends on the timing of that sort of analysis that we're doing. Just for context for council, through the chair, so we've brought some capacity internally in relation to corporate initiatives. So taking a greater look in relation to process improvement within the organization. We didn't have that capacity even 2 years ago. We now have that capacity. Every year what we do is we do a intake internally in relation to getting those high-level priority pieces from staff where we may have processes that are broken, where customer service may not be optimal. So we do those intakes in March, and then ultimately we'll look to see if there's an opportunity for us to use the remaining dollars to invest in projects like the ones you've seen through this memo. So we do have a process involved in order to bring in those high-level projects where we might be able to do some process improvements that are ultimately going to save resources for the organization and improve customer service.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
There is a request, although it's a little bit limited. It's 823 for a presentation request submitted by Ron Webb, but it's not really complete. So I'm just questioning, does anybody know, does the mayor know what exactly he's asking for?
Mr. Wong.
Sorry, Chair, let me pull that up.
Mr.
So, Chair Innes, I believe the request is complete in terms of what was written. Is the question to me more background on it?
Well, all I got on here is REQUE on the.
No, there's an attached.
Oh,
is there an attached letter?
There's an attached letter.
Okay, I apologize then.
Did you want to move to allow him to make a presentation?
No, then if there's an attached letter, it's. I just wanted to bring it to the attention of the ward representatives because I don't have it here. So, okay, I'll look at the and worry about it later.
Okay, Councillor Early.
Just 8.2.2.2, the transportation program, they want to delegate, so I assume that's been,
you have to do a motion to permit them to delegate?
So I have to do a motion?
So moved by Councillor Early?
Yeah, thanks.
That Ms. Faye Davey be approved to present to Council at a future council date regarding the transportation program.
I don't got it, right?
Seconded by Councillor Downey. All those in favor? Carried. Anything further, Councillor Early? No. Anyone else? Seeing none, the following motion is required to go into confidential session. That Council shall go into confidential session under Section 239 of the Municipal Act for the following purposes. 9.1, Confidential Staff Report 2019-0162, Proposed or Pending Acquisition of Land by the Municipality, Alton Cemetery Update. 9.2, Confidential Staff Report 2019-0163, Technical, Commercial, or Financial Information Supplied in Confidence to the Municipality, Update on Broadband Request for Proposal. I need a mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Downey, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. All those in favor? Carried. Council will now move into confidential session. Members of the public in attendance are welcome to wait until the conclusion of confidential session, at which time the public portion of the meeting will continue. Entered into confidential session for the following purposes. 9.1, Confidential Staff Report 2019-0162, Proposed or Pending Acquisition of Land by the Municipality, Alton Cemetery Update. 9.2, Confidential Staff Report 2019-0163, Technical, Commercial, and Financial Information Supplied in Confidence to the Municipality Update on Broadband Request for Proposal. The following motions are resulting from the confidential session. That the town enter into an amended permission to enter agreement with the Alton Cemetery Committee until December 31st, 2022. And that the mayor and the town clerk be authorized to execute all agreements and waivers of liability with the Alton Cemetery Committee in connection with the legal survey of the Alton Cemetery and the associated works. And that additional funding to complete the scope of work outlined in Confidential Staff Report 2019-0162 be approved for the capital project number 16-208, abandonment of the Alton Village Cemetery in the amount of $20,000. To be funded from the tax-funded capital contingency reserve, the staff report back with a business case for operating the Alton Cemetery, and that the additional $50,000 be allocated to capital project number 16-208, abandonment of the Alton Village Cemetery, to be funded from tax-funded capital contingency reserve for ground-penetrating radar on the site. I need a mover and a seconder. Bottom. Councillor Early, seconded by Councillor St. Clair. Since it's his ward, all those in favor? Carried. And Confidential Staff Report 2019-0163, Technical, Commercial, or Financial Information Supplied in Confidence to the Municipality Update on the Broadband Request for Proposal. That the General Manager of Corporate Services be authorized to negotiate and approve all necessary agreements in order to implement fiber installation for Part B. That the Mayor and Clerk be authorized to execute any and all necessary agreements for Part B as outlined in Confidential Staff Report 2019-0163. That once the agreement for Part B fiber installation are executed, Confidential Staff Report 2019-0163 be made public. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Rosa. All those in favor? Carried. This concludes this meeting and General Committee is now adjourned. Yes, that was approved on consent. General Committee is now adjourned.